Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We're just glad to be back together.
We're
a little out of practice. But for those of you that are new to this show, we are a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. If God is building your family through fertility treatments or adoption or all the crazy creative ways that God moves, we just want to go with you on that journey and encourage you along the way. And October is here. And
October is here.
It's crazy. We have a really special event coming up, you guys, October 20th. If you are in the Tupelo area where we are headquartered, we want to invite you to come be a part of it. We are doing a butterfly release for anyone who has lost a precious, sweet little baby.
Rather an embryo?
Yes. Or from any stage, stillborn, an infant, however many days you had them, you held them in your heart and they have a forever impact.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, is it called the Wave of Light?
That's October 15th. Okay. And that's when you light a candle in honor or memory of those sweet babies. And then the butterfly release is what we're doing October 20th.
Yeah. And if you are not in the area, but you want to participate in some way, if you've lost a little one and you'd like to email us, we have a couple of people coming who have struggled with infertility but haven't maybe lost a little one, and they would be honored to release a butterfly on your behalf. And we're going to try to film that and let you guys see it. So hannahsheart@afa.net. You can email us and we'll get you connected and get you all the information you need.
That's right. So today we have a special guest on. Can I call you friend?
Yeah.
I haven't introduced her yet, but I consider her a friend. Mm. The reason I was asking if I could say, is she my friend, is because she is my counselor. And I started going to see her, 2 years ago? Maybe something like that. I just realized, long story short, that I needed someone, third party, to be like, hey, this is why you're doing this. This is not why you're doing this. You know, just something to, someone to lead me to Jesus while also trying to help me figure out emotions and things like that going on in my own mind and in my heart. And so her name is Marie Friesen, and we have her in studio today. She is going to be in to talk about her own walk with some infertility stuff. And then we're actually going to do another show after this one to talk about counseling and the importance of it.
Stay tuned next week.
Yeah, next week. For the importance of counseling as you're walking through infertility, miscarriage, child loss. I think counseling is important in marriage.
Yes.
Say you have the picture perfect marriage, life is going great, but sometimes counseling is still just needed because, unfortunately, words get said that shouldn't be said, and things get done, and feelings get hurt, and you know we handle things differently as a man and woman. And so, even if you haven't walked through child loss or infertility, that can still be important. But we're going to talk about why it's important through child loss and infertility.
Look, I think everybody should, you go to the dentist twice a year to get your
teeth
cleaned.
That's right.
I think that Christian counseling should be so normalized that it's just, assumed.
Yeah, that's just what you do.
We go do this every once in a while just to check in and see how.
It doesn't necessarily mean that something's wrong. But anyway, okay, Marie, we're glad to have you.
Hello.
Thank you, hello. Yes, I am a friend. So, when you asked me to come on and do my story, I really wasn't sure if I, not that I didn't want to, but I was like, how can I help anybody? Mm-hmm. Because of my fertility struggles, I never conceived. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have one daughter. She is 24. I did she's my biological daughter. So if I can just take a step back into history. Okay. So growing up, lived in a home that we believed in God, but my parents did not take us to church. And my foundation was really laid with me with an adopted grandmother, I say, and grandfather. Frances Parker lives in Auburn community still. And that's where my foundation was laid. And so moving into teenage years, playing church, playing religion in a way, as we say, got wild and dabbled with drugs and dabbled with alcohol, and had a trauma happen when I was 16 that I really went downhill. Even though people were in my life trying to guide me the right way, I did not accept that. And then senior in high school, I graduated, and then I was dating somebody, and we got pregnant. And we ended up marrying. And even though my daughter was not planned, she definitely changed my life.
Sure.
If she had, or I say not planned by me, but if she had not been here or was not here, I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair, honestly. And from that point, the marriage, you know, the marriage was not a bad marriage. As we went through life, we grew apart and made choices that, ended up in a divorce, and I remarried, divorce 2013, 2014. I remarried in 2015, and when I remarried, we knew immediately, like, we want to have a child. I was 35, I was getting older, and, like, we need to try now. But in previous years, my daughter was the only, like I said, only biological daughter I had, never had any other pregnancies that I, you know, nothing, didn't prevent anything.
Yeah.
And so in that second marriage, or in the second marriage, I realized that fertility struggles, right? I don't even use the word infertility. I say more fertility struggles. But either way, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto, autoimmune condition, 2006, which a lot of things come with that, with fertility. A lot of the thyroid controls a lot of stuff that we don't think about. But as time went on and we were trying to have a child, it was just getting more frustrating, more hurtful in a way, you know, you know, all the feelings. And but I knew also there was something else going on with my body because my cycles were extremely painful. No one had ever really looked into that. And I went to my gynecologist. I said, doing my own research, right?
Yeah.
I'm a poster child, for endometriosis. I can check off nearly every symptom but one. Yeah, and so we did the exploratory surgery, and she was going to go in, and if there was some endometriosis, going to remove it, and we would just start over, right, do the IUIs and different
all
things.
All of the things.
All the things. So I remember waking up, and my husband just kind of looked at me, and I'm like, what's going on, you know? And then she come in and tell me I had stage 4 endometriosis. Ooh. So, and been living with that for years. And even before our marriage, I was in, always extremely in extreme pain during that time of the month. But I would just push through it and work and do. And
I guess you just get used to it.
You just get used to it. Yeah, it's just
your normal
part of life. Well, stage 4 has a lot of ramifications other than just fertility, right?
Right. So, yes. A lot of, so with they, with stage 4, with me, and they say stage, you know, the you can have stage 4 and not have any pain. You know, when you get in and look, you start seeing. But for me, I had all the pain. It was, I had a frozen pelvis, they called it. So nothing could move. And for women, and I'm not a doctor, so let me say, you know, just research and knowing and the doctors explaining to me, a frozen pelvis, nothing moves. And so when you have a cycle, things contract and do and move a little. I couldn't. And that's why I had so much pain. It's like when I was on a cycle, I'd stand up at work, and it would take me a good 10 seconds to be able to just stand up straight. My abdomen would swell out like 3 inches. So from that surgery, with the exploratory surgery, and she told me there's nothing I can do, they put me on a Lupron.
Wait a minute. Why weren't they able to do anything?
Because it was, well, I would need an expert, more of a
specialist.
To go in. My colon was, it was like if you had taken a bottle of glue and poured it in my abdomen. Everything was just this.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So everything was affected. So they put me on a shot to kind of put me in premenopause.
And that's not what you want to do when you're, no.
It was not fun. And from that point, I'm like, well, wait a minute. We're supposed to be still moving forward. You know, yeah. my brain's doing that.
It feels like a backward step for sure.
Definitely a backward step. So we got to the hospital, and then I'm researching. All right, now let's research endometriosis. Let's research diet. You know, what things can I do to control this? And ended up finding a specialist in Atlanta. So that surgery was 2017. 2018, end of 2017, found Dr. Sanervo in Atlanta, who's a specialist there, works with endometriosis, and he does a surgery called apex excision. We scheduled that in March of 2018. We did a GoFundMe because it's going to be a lot out of pocket. Yeah. And, you know, I thank God that I had friends and family and people I didn't even know donate. We did our story about the endometriosis. And, you know, if a pregnancy could come out of that surgery, so be it. But for me at that point, it was the pain. So we traveled to Atlanta and had to stay there a week after the surgery. And he removed all the endometriosis. And I... God through that man's hands, I've been pain-free since 2018.
Wow. That's a praise the Lord.
Yeah, from not being able to function to no issues. Wow. I can go to the gym. I can do whatever I want to. You know, it's,
a free woman.
Yes. So, and I would say, and I'll, a little bit more of my story in a second, but if hindsight looking back, if I could rewind time, I would have had him already just do a hysterectomy at that time. But I didn't. So our goal was to still continue on trying to get pregnant. And he even told us, if you conceive, I want his middle name to be Kenny. His name is Ken. And we're like, oh, yeah, because we're going to, you know. So, and then moving forward from that, well, also, let me back up too. From the divorce and decisions I had made and things that happened in that part of my life, I ran from God too. I was like, decisions I had made, and there's no way that he can still love me, that I can be accepted into church, I can do this or that. That was devil.
So, right. So many lies.
And we know that. Yeah. So, So, but from that, I continued to run, pretend but run, the opposite direction. And my life got very much involved in, again, how can I control the situation? How can I get pregnant? How can I, And I got wrapped up into more New Age type thinking, New Age type practice.
Which is creeping into the church nowadays.
I can tell you all day long. That's something you're very passionate
about.
It's dangerous.
It is.
And it's spiritual, so it can sound right.
We could put Jesus in front of anything and make it, oh, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
And I mean, you're passionate about, like, letting people know.
People know, yeah. Oh, and this is the first time I've ever really told my story, so this is an exclusive right here.
It's content.
So, so give me just one example, like, how do Christians maybe buy into something that's New Age? Like, or what was something that you, an ideal or a way of thinking that started to influence you?
Well, let me say this. Growing up as a young child, I always felt a pull toward that. Astrology, horoscopes, little witchy crafty type stuff. Let's just say woo-woo voodoo kind of, you know, I always felt a pull of that when I was little and growing up would play with horoscopes and do things like that. And then so, you know, manifesting.
Was it a draw to power that was outside of you? Like, did you just...
It was just neat to me.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. And I'll say this, something I realized at one time too, and I even tell my husband, I'm like, you know, God is all, all powerful. But then this side of the world over here makes everything look much more powerful.
For sure.
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I dabbled a lot in that stuff. One, like I said, I didn't feel like I could go back to God, and I was searching for something, and then in the therapy world, a lot of the therapy has turned more into some of that stuff as well. But the manifesting, meditation, which the word says meditate on the word and meditate, it's separate things, different kinds of things, right? I even had gotten so far into trying to figure out this fertility and how I can get pregnant and having readings done. I'd hired somebody to do a reading. They did a reading on my past, my present, my future.
This is 2015?
This is 17.
Okay.
17. Gotcha. Yeah. So, and I say all that to say how far I'd gotten out there.
Yeah.
Because I was so consumed with, we want a child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want a child. What can we do? We were just so consumed with it. Or I was so consumed with mm-hmm. it. Let me say that. He wanted a child too, together as a blended family, to share something together. But that just was not, it's not in the plan.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because there's like, we've had some guests on to talk about blended families, and over 50% of families in the church now are blended.
Yeah.
And the church, I think, doesn't always know how to minister and reach out to some of the specific issues that blended families face. Mm-hmm. Did you feel an extra level of push because you guys had both come from other situations and you'd come from a previous marriage? Did you feel the need to have a child to make the relationship work, or was that an extra pressure?
Nope, it was actually not. We loved each other so much and wanted to share something together.
Just a regular, normal marriage of I want a piece of you.
It was not a
fix it.
Let's put a baby here to bring everybody. Because I have a child. Mm-hmm. She's 24 now. He has a daughter who's 18, mm-hmm. and then we have an adopted daughter. I do. Me and my previous husband have an adopted daughter who's 12. Mm-hmm. So it was not actually to bring everybody together in unity. It was just we loved each other so much and mm-hmm. we wanted to share something like that together. So mm-hmm. yeah. So getting into that lifestyle and still running and stuff, after the surgery, came back again, and like I said, really just dove into all that. And my whole life consumed it, down to my diet, down to the environment we lived in, down to, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
would breathe. You eat, sleep, and breathe.
Yes. That's all it was.
It's a full-time job.
And it was exhausting. But I didn't share that with everybody either. So I was carrying it on myself. My husband knew because he could see everything going on. But outside of me, not really many people knew that. So in 2018, that kind of life just kept getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Down to where me and my husband, we'd give each other a Christmas list. Like, I want, this is my wish list. And I would just put all kinds of, say, new age, but it's old age. There's nothing new about it,
mm-hmm.
except we adapt it now, like
right.
what you say, our culture. And he would just buy the stuff I asked for. And he had no idea what he was buying and putting in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 20, and after the reading, when I had hired the man to do the reading, my husband's like, at that point, he said, I don't know if we're going to make it. Because of my mindset, my faith, not the same as, you know, almost not the same yoke anymore. Because, like, well, in 2019, this is what I'll say. 2019, I was sitting in church, and I even started conviction. And I even would sit there and think, what's going to happen to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I knew right then I walked up front and told my pastor, I said, look, past 10 years, I've been going the opposite direction. It would take me 10 years to tell you everything, but I need to get right with God. And in November 2019, I fully wow. surrendered my life.
Wow.
And to me, that's the day I got saved.
Wow.
Playing church up to that point, I knew Jesus. I knew he was, you know, the Son of God. I knew all the things that we teach and we know. But that day, I surrendered. I was baptized in December. Well, that day, actually, in November, I went home and threw away every book, every piece of jewelry I had to use to practice that lifestyle, anything involved. And I even told him, I said, you see this is what this is for. He said, what did you bring in our house? I know, and I'm sorry, and please forgive me, too. I was lost.
Yeah.
So, and from that day, you know, from 2019 to now, I just fall in love with God more and more every day. And so in December of 19, I was baptized, and I love watching the video of being baptized because, you know how you can do the slow-mo?
Mm-hmm.
So going into the water and coming up, and of course you hear people clapping, you hear the water, but I hear chains falling. I heard demons squealing.
Flying.
Wow. Man.
It's just, and I know it's the water, and it's the clap. But I'm telling you, when I heard that video, I was like, yes. It's gone. Wow. It's done. That gives right?
me chills. Yeah,
right? Gave me chills.
You said it is done.
It's done.
Yeah.
And so, and from that day, life started changing, but my desire started changing.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
And so I had never read the Bible from front to back, and I started that, the Bible app. I just pulled up a version, and that was my goal, just to read it in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just read it. Not study, not pull, you know, no commentary, just read it. I finished it in 10 months, not 12
wow.
months, because I fell in
you were
love
hungry.
With it. Yeah.
Wow.
I would lay there at night and do like, okay, I'm going to do my one devotional. Then I'd end up doing six in a night. I'm like, Marie, you got to go to bed.
Wow.
You have to work.
Consuming the word.
Mm-hmm. So I just, and as I drew closer to him and fell in love more with him, my desire for a child left.
Mm. Wow.
And so, when I was thinking about my story, like, oh, what hope am I going to give anybody? It's that he can change the heart. Like, if it's not his will, you know, we pray. And I tell everybody, hold on to hope and belief, whatever your desire is, hold on to it until he changes that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. But for me, it changed.
Mm.
Totally changed.
And it's not you faking it. It's not you having to put on a pretend smile.
Mm-hmm.
He literally did a work in your heart to take something that was an obsession and to remove it and fill it with, it sounds like, something else.
Right, right. It's just great.
You know, there's that scripture about if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. And we so often use that to mean he's just going to give you what you want, you know, and we don't even focus on what it means to delight in the Lord.
Right.
But I think a careful reading of that scripture will make us realize that as we delight in the Lord, he places his desires in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably some women listening right now that maybe like you, they have that drive and they don't know whether God's going to end up giving them a child or not, but they're scared of what happens if he doesn't. And could I ever fully be happy?
I was so scared of that.
Let me start real quick. And that's a big part of one of the biggest part of this whole thing too. In 2018, I had the surgery. That was spring break in March. May, I had a diverticulitis attack.
Oh, gosh.
Where I was laying on the floor in my bedroom trying to wake my husband up. I had no energy. I'm hitting the bed, like, wake up.
Oh, my word.
And he finally wakes up, and he sees me on the floor. And he's like, do we need to go to the ER? And I'm like, yes. I have no idea what's going on. I thought maybe it was a complication of that surgery previously. And we get there, and it was bad. And my colon had perforated.
Oh.
And they told him, you know, this is serious. She could die if we don't intervention, right? And my blood pressure was 80 over 60. And I'm like, why is my blood pressure so low if I'm in so much pain?
Mm.
And he's Googling and he just puts the phone down and he just starts texting people, y'all need to pray right now. And ended up staying in the hospital for a week on antibiotics and did not do surgery then. But the crazy thing was, I was laying on that bed in the ER and they're telling us, if we don't do something quick, this could be bad. I start squalling.
Mm.
Not that I could die.
Mm.
Wait a minute. I got to get pregnant.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I don't have time for surgery. I don't have time to die.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just my mindset
just
of how consumed
wow.
I was with that.
I think anyone struggling with infertility could, you know, put them, not in your shoes, but understand what you're meaning, because it can become all-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we try to encourage people with these podcasts that we share like this, is like, there is so, I hate to say so much more, but like, Jesus is so much more, you know? And if we fully let him be and fully recognize that, we can see that those desires can be fulfilled by Jesus, you know? And then wonderful if we get those children. But he can fill that void, you know, if we let him.
The book of Matthew talks about how, which of you, if his son asks for a fish, would give him a snake, or if he asks for bread, would give him a stone. And I think that we can apply that to when we ask the Lord to bless us and give us good things, if we ask him for a family or we ask him, there's this part of me, this desire I don't know what to do with, because he's a good God and desires to give us good things, we can trust in his goodness, not knowing what the gift will be, but that whatever he gives us is, we're not going to have to fake it and pretend, oh, everything's okay.
Right,
if he takes children off the table, you're going to be amazed at the joy that floods your heart that you never would have anticipated. That comes from him solely.
My life song now is Mercy Me.
Mm.
even if.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
And we know we pray, we believe. We believe for that prayer. Mm-hmm. But my prayer for everybody is I'm believing and standing in what you're asking for. But however, if God chooses not to, use you strength and wisdom to stay strong and move through, even if he doesn't remove that. That's my life song. I love it.
That is powerful.
It's so powerful. Well, Marie, my friend and counselor, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was good to hear more of your story because when I'm sitting on your couch, yes, she has a couch. I feel like everyone always wonders that with counseling or therapy.
And now you can trust to listen to the next episode because she's been through something.
That's right. Yeah.
She's been through something herself and trust the Lord. So tune in next week.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening in to Hannah's Heart, and we will see you back next week.